Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to yet another episode of the Everyday Truth Podcast. We've done it a little bit differently here in the book of James. I've typically done these books of the Bible with one of my adult children, but I really had an urge to do one of these books, and we chose the book of James, with some of my dear ministry friends. And we spent some time with Carrie Schmidt, enjoyed that for some episodes. But boy, these past few episodes, I have just greatly enjoyed, Dean, spending this time with you. And I wish sometimes people could be a fly on the wall in some of our phone conversations. Not all of them.
No, not
all of them. But because the podcast that we're sharing is not dissimilar to some of our phone calls.
Right.
But we're just talking about the Bible.
Well, you know, God works in our lives through the people that he brings into our lives. And when God began this relationship with you and I, little did I know that in the course of that, God would lead you from your ministry at Harvest, and you would walk this way. And then just a few years later, God would move my heart and begin to lead me into another course of ministry. And then the counsel and these conversations that we've had many, many times have just been edifying, encouraging. And as Christians, we need to do this. The Bible tells us that we've got to edify each other. We need to admonish one another.
Mm. Yeah. Provoke one another unto love and good works. Iron sharpeneth iron, and all of that. And you've been a sharpener in my life for sure. We've been in a passage, Dean, that really kind of hits us between the eyes because it deals with the assembly. It deals with the way that we show favoritism to people. And sometimes we're not even fully aware of our prejudices. And it's the Word of God that exposes those things in our life. We've got to receive it and see it. And in chapter 2, James gives a couple concluding thoughts about the whole idea of respecting persons. And in verse 8, it says, if you fulfill the royal law. So, wow, dun-dun-da, yeah, the royal law, we would say that the top law, the number one law, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, so that shows me that loving your neighbor as yourself is mutually exclusive to respecting persons. If you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. He that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. So, strong passage, really indicting the practice of favoritism and tying it to that royal commandment. So, what are your thoughts, Dean?
Well, it's not just favoritism. It's sin.
And right.
It's not just a prejudice. It's
no,
sin.
It's sin when you do it, okay? It's a mistake when I do it.
Right.
Yeah. Isn't that the way we think, though?
Well, that is.
Yeah.
But we're not, you know, the point that Pastor James is making this whole way through is that we're walking in the Word of God. And if we're walking in the Word of God and we're doing the work, the outpouring of that is not necessarily just what it does in my life, but what it does through my life to other people. And that's not exclusive. It's for everybody. God needs to be able to work in my way and in my life in such a way that if I see a poor man on the street, and the Holy Spirit leads me to help him, to speak to him, to give the gospel to him. I have no prejudice there. I'm doing the work of God in his life as well as a rich man's life without any respect of persons. And to not do that is sin.
Here's a thought. If you fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, so three times in the epistles, you'll find this same reference. You'll find in Galatians 5, where the Apostle Paul said, we fulfill the law when we love our neighbor as ourself. In Romans 13, he said, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So Paul, twice, Romans 13, Galatians 5, and then James, here in James 2, they all say the same thing, and that is that all of God's law can be encapsulated in one pithy statement, which is, love your neighbor as yourself. But here's the thing. Those statements don't seem to jive with what Jesus said. Because somebody came to Jesus one day in Matthew 22, and they said, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, number one, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and great commandment. So when Jesus said the law was all fulfilled in one thing, he said it was the number one, love your neighbors. And then he said, love God. But then he said this, number two, he said, oh, and that wasn't part of the question, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. So Dean, which is it? Is it what Jesus said, love God, love your neighbor, 1-2, or is it what Paul and James said, love your neighbor? They said nothing about loving God here. They just said, number one, love your neighbor.
Yes.
So.
Yes, it's both.
How can it be both?
Well, simple, because the Jews, when Jesus is speaking to them in Matthew, they had come to believe that they could project through the Pharisees, through their phylacteries, through all their outward show, they could project that I love God more deeply than you love God. I love him with all my heart. I tithe on the mint and the anise. I do all these things to project this show of I love God with all my heart. But no man can see the heart. Only God sees the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance. So where Paul and James are speaking of this practically, Jesus says, look, the greatest law is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And if you do that, the outpouring of that is you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. Then the love of God that is in you works through you.
So the loving of the neighbor is a consequence of loving God. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar.
Well, what are we talking about in James? We're talking about a man who is swift to hear. He's running to the word of God. He's spending alone time with God. He's listening to the voice of God. He is receiving the word of God with a welcome mat. It is filling his heart and filling his life inwardly. But how do we see that? Because there are some who seem to be religious. They seem to have that. But it was all empty. It was vain. How do we see that? Now, see, James is telling us first, be swift to hear and slow to speak. But then he tells us in chapter 2, speak this and do.
So there's the outworking.
There's the outward
of what
working.
Is real on the inside.
So the word that God has given to me inwardly becomes the work of God through me outwardly. And that's the only way. And that's what he's going to explain later about faith and works. You say you have faith, but you show me that by your works. God saw Abraham's faith and justified him, but we didn't see it until he put Isaac on the altar.
Right. So here's maybe an additional thought to that, because I love that and I agree with that 100%. Here's another thought. How about this? Not only is it a consequence of our love for God, but it is the way by which we love God. Okay? Because the Bible says that we love him because he first loved us. So I guess my question would be, and follow me on this, can I love God the same way that God loves me? Because God loved me before I loved him, and God loved me when I was unlovely. So I guess the question would be, can I love God that way? Can I love him before he loves me? Can I love him when he's unlovely?
No.
No, but wait a minute. Jesus said this, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So you visited me in prison and you clothed me and you gave me a cup of water and you helped me. So Jesus said, when you did that for this person, you did that for me. So my question is, you did it to me.
Right.
So when I love other people, I'm not only showing love for God, that's big enough, I'm showing love to God.
Yes. Well, what did Jesus say? He said, and hereby shall men know that you are my disciples when you love one another.
We have love one toward another.
Right. So my love to you is my love to Jesus Christ.
That's exactly right.
Well, Kurt, I've got three girls. You have kids. If somebody wants to show their love and appreciation to you, can it really be in any greater capacity than when they shower your kids with love
Absolutely.
And affection?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the whole point, that we can love God qualitatively the same way he loves us, because we can love people before they ever love us. We can love people when we're misunderstood. We can love people that are unlovely. And when we do that, we're loving with the same agape love by which we were loved of God. It's the Good Samaritan. Who's my neighbor? Okay. The one that you have the opportunity to love. That's how you're loving God. Remember, the guy gave the right answer. I love God, love your neighbor. And Jesus said, okay, go do that. You'll live. Okay, well, who's my neighbor? He wanted to qualify.
Sure.
Well, then who do I have to love? You know, the one that's in need. So, I mean, it all comes full circle, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, it's easy to say, I love God. And that's what they did. I love God with all my heart. But show it.
That's the whole book of 1 John. So, whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. If you have a respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced that the law is transgressors. So, you know, the Jews especially wanted to create a system of, well, here are big sins, here are small sins, here are, and basically what it came down to is, I have my loopholes and you don't. And what James was showing is, listen, the law of liberty is this law, the word of God, the New Testament liberty we have is the opportunity to treat other people the way we've been treated. That's the whole point, that we've been loved, we've been accepted, we've been given grace, we've been given forgiveness. Now go do the same, live by that law.
And when we do that, the world sees that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. And when we don't, and we become preferential in our treatment of others, the word of God is blasphemed. And so many times we've seen that in the work of God, where people have used the work of God to take advantage of others. And well, you're just in it in the money. You're a money grabbing preacher. You're just, and the word of God becomes blasphemed.
You know what helps me to just, and we've got to close, but what helps me with all of this so much, what helps me is inserting the story of Jesus on top of all these verses. Because you say, well, what does that look like in real life? And you just look at how Jesus reacted. Look at what Jesus did. Look at how he dealt with people. And the more you just study the life of Jesus, the more these principles have shape and have application to our lives. And here's James. He grew up with Jesus, didn't believe on him until after the resurrection. But you have to imagine that once James began to understand the word of God, once the Holy Spirit was at work in his life, and as a pastor, he's preaching and teaching, you have to think that all of those memories of his older brother as a child, he backfilled all that into his mind to think, that's what Jesus was loving me. Jesus was doing right. I didn't understand that. My older brother, I didn't. You see how that works? Yeah. And that must have been a precious, precious thing for James. Hey, that's about all the time we have for today. Thanks again for joining us. Looking forward to another episode. But let me just stop and say thank you. I appreciate each and every one of you. We couldn't do this without you. I hope you have a great day in the Lord. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.